hide from Abraham that thing which I do, in verse 18 says, seeing, because of this, that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him. Verse 19, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. God knew, like I said earlier, God knew Abraham's heart. He knows our heart and our heart for our children and how serious we take that and our spirit towards our children. He says, I know him. I know that Abraham is an investor. He's not going to have children passively. He's not going to have children as a bother. He's not going to have children off to the side that he just drags along with him because they came along. He's not going to have children as a nuisance. He's going to have children with a vision. He's going to understand that the future of his faith hangs on his children. I know him, and he's going to invest something in them. In this case, he says that he will command his children after him. I don't think that meant that Abraham was going to stand up and just order them around like a drill sergeant, but he was going to teach them carefully. He was going to invest words into their life, an example into their life, a direction into their life. He will command his children after him. He's going to be looking at them and noticing them and giving them direction. I know him. That's his heart. And so I can share the future with him. I can talk about Sodom's demise with him. I can talk about the fact that it's going to be destroyed and Lot's over there. And I can talk about to him about if there'd be 50 or 45 or 40. I can talk with Abraham about this because he understands things like that. And he used the illustration of Abraham's heart for his children to verify that. He knew that Abraham was an investor in his children's heart. And that's the encouragement I would have out of Abraham for us as young fathers and mothers and older fathers and maybe grandfathers and grandmothers, that our hearts be turned towards our children, that we be investing in them with direction, encouragement, correction, vision, all of those things. The next one I think about is Job. There in Job chapter 1, Job was another, I would say, another father that can be looked to as an example of one who was investing in his children. Again, a familiar story there out of Job. It's irrelevant, but the story describes how wealthy the man was, how successful he seemed to be in lands and cattle and oxen and camels and servants and all of those things. We know the story too, how that was. Actually, this is before the destruction, so that's beside the point. Verse 5. Verse 4, his sons went feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. We have the heart of a father there who is investing. I'm going to just use the term sacrifice in his children. In this case, he literally is going out to the altar and taking an animal and sacrificing it in behalf intercession for his children. He knew they were out there on their own, whatever they were doing. In this case, they were together in the house feasting. I don't know what all the implications of that were, but Job was concerned about his children, and so he was making an intercession with a sacrifice. I would take that illustration a bit farther with fathers and mothers in the home making sacrifices for our children. I don't know what all that means. It does definitely mean intercession and prayer. I don't know that we are called to take our land and sacrifice on an altar so much. But it maybe means sacrificing our own desires sometimes, our own plans, our own schedules. There may be, as I look around, there may be a mother here because of a child being sick. I don't know. I don't know for sure what all is going on in everybody's life. But sacrifices, things we want to do that we don't do because of a child. I could start filling out illustrations there. I'll just leave that. Each of us have our own life. We know the things that we give up for a child so that they can be well taken care of. Sacrificing for our children, that's an investment. That's being intentional. That's being focused. That's not being passive. Job didn't just wake up, ho-hum, ho-hum, whatever. Guess the children are feasting today. No, he got up and Thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel. In the heart of Jesus, and this is not really a strong point at all, but the heart of Jesus is always a blessing to me, and so I'd like to read about that as well in Mark 10. God cares about our little children, too, very much. And Jesus illustrated that, and just a blessing. You think about Jesus and how he came and how he walked and how he taught, and then here are the little children gathered around him. And he was making a point, I know, but I think those little children felt their value in moments like these. Chapter 10, verse 13, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples were like people, and they thought the little children were getting in the way. And Lord help us, the little children are not in the way. Jesus knew that. His disciples rebuked those that brought them, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Just imagine being that little child that was on Jesus' lap that day with his arm around him and how he felt. And can we be that for little children? You understand when we share on these messages, when I do at least, it's undergirded with a feeling of inadequacy and also vulnerability, but it's a desire, and so just take it as such. I'm going to start with the topic of restraint a little bit here, and you're familiar with the story of Eli in 1 Samuel, where we were with Hannah, but just a chapter or two later, and we probably, I guess I won't read there, but if you're familiar with that story, maybe I should, get that verse, and I don't even know that I can lay my eyes on it right now. There it is. And so the story of Eli is, he was the priest there, and he had these two boys, and this man was supposed to be the priest of Israel.